Welcome back, Sub-Zero Sports, Season 4, Episode 11. Today, we are talking UFC 298. Let's get it. And we're back.
We're back.
Another one.
Another UFC podcast.
And it's UFC time.
Love it.
And I'm pumped.
Once a month, we get it. We had Sean Strickland Duplessis last month. That was a good fight. A little bit controversial, somewhat.
Yep.
But
it was.
Not a great card. All the Canadian men lost.
Yep. I thought it sucked overall.
Like 0-7, the male Canadians.
The card was terrible.
It was. It was. And we talked about it before. We thought there was going to be some good fights on it. Didn't turn out that way.
Nope.
And we basically paid $80 to watch one fight.
Yes. It was a good fight, at least.
Not with this one.
Not with this one.
This main card. That first matchup.
Basically,
is
from
like,
here,
yeah.
From here until we get to May,
yeah,
we're
or
sitting
April.
Pretty.
You talking about UFC 300?
No, I'm saying until we get to 301, it's
nothing but
bangers.
Yeah. 299 is
right now. It's better than 299. Right now, it's better than 300.
But there's two more fights still to be announced on 300.
I thought there was only one.
No, he said he's got one more spot to fill in the middle.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then the main.
But we know the co-main is the BMF.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is the BMF.
It is the BMF.
So Zhang and the other is going to be
the third fight.
Good.
Yes.
I like that.
Yep.
I guess that's their way of putting it below because it's still for a title.
Right.
The BMF title.
Right.
Don't know how much you care about that, but.
I don't care about that being on the line at all. I care about Gaethje versus Holloway.
I was about to say, I just like the BMF title is going to be a banger fight. You know, we've had Masvidal versus Diaz, and then we've had Gaethje versus Poirier, and now we got Gaethje versus Holloway.
Correct.
So all bangers.
All bangers.
How did Masvidal Diaz, wasn't it like a doctor stoppage?
It was a doctor stoppage, yeah.
From a cut?
Mm-hmm.
For Diaz?
Yep.
And then obviously Gaethje knocked Poirier the F out with that head
kick
in July, I believe?
Yes.
And this should be a banger. Max back up to 155. So, the last time we saw Max at 155 was against Poirier for the interim title?
Yes.
In 19?
I believe that's right. Yeah. That was a good fight.
But that's 299.
That's 299.
298.
And there's some really good fights on this card, too.
There is. So, the main card's really good. The fifth one, I'd say, deserves to be there. It's not the best, but it's...
It's two up-and-coming guys.
Yeah.
They're probably going to put on a show.
I don't really know that, so it's Hernandez versus...
Kopalov?
Yeah.
Roman Kopalov versus Anthony Hernandez.
He's got four straight knockouts. Do you want to talk about that one at all? I don't have much to say about those guys, to be honest.
Well, I think it'll just be interesting, kind of just a fight, because Hernandez is, I feel like, known for his submissions. He's a jiu-jitsu guy, but he will knock you out.
Those are 185ers?
The 185ers, yep. So... I don't know. It'll be an interesting fight. Hernandez is the favorite. He's 11-2. Kopalov's 12-2. So the winner of that can kind of put themselves maybe like where their next fight could be for a ranked spot.
So neither guy's ranked.
Hernandez neither guy's ranked. I don't believe so.
I thought he was like right on the brink of 15.
He might be, but I don't think either of them are ranked. But it really gets good in match four.
That's kind of crazy they got that below Neil and Gary.
Yeah, they're pushing the hell out of Ian Gary.
Yeah, but
that's
it's
what
like
doing.
Merab's number one ranked bantamweight.
And Cejudo's probably two.
Two or three.
Yeah.
And then you got Jeff Neal, Ian Gary, which is a, what, 8-10 or something?
Yep.
Welterweights?
Probably.
Interesting. But yeah, I mean, the last four fights are freaking nuts. Honestly, I'm probably more excited about 4-3 than I am 2.
I just feel like we don't know what the heck we're going to get from the co-main.
Yeah, I mean... With Whitaker, last time he was out, he got knocked out by Duplessis. And then Costa has only fought like twice in the past 3-4 years.
Yeah, and
is
in
he
his
make
last
it?
Four fights, he's what, 1-3?
No, he's only got
well,
two
one
losses.
And two.
He's lost
to Vittori
and Adesanya.
Yeah.
He beat Rockhold.
Yeah, and that's his only win.
And who's his last win before that?
It was Yoel Romero.
That was forever ago.
Yeah. Who's not even in the UFC anymore.
I think I've only actually seen Costa fight twice since I've gotten
Did
in
you
UFC.
See the Yoel Romero fight?
Nope.
It was crazy. They were throwing haymakers the whole time. You ever seen the clip of Costa where he does the soldier thing?
I've seen the highlights from it, but I didn't watch that fight live. First got into UFC was right when it was Costa versus Adesanya. That's when I first got in. So that should have been around 2020 because I think that was Fight Island.
That was.
So then he came back, lost Vittori like 2 years later, and then fought Rockhold, and that was a weird fight.
The weirdest fight I've ever seen in my life.
It was a pretty good fight.
Where he was blowing his blood all over his face.
Rockhold.
Yeah. Like a straight lunatic.
So weird, bro. He's so awkward.
I feel like that's such a no-no.
No?
Well, for one, you're not supposed to blow your nose.
Yeah, it doesn't like blow your eye up.
Yeah, it makes your eyes swell. But two.
He's doing it with like 15 seconds left in the fight.
Yeah, true. But still, dude, what a psychotic thing to do.
Like, Costa didn't have a cut on him at all, I don't think, in that fight. And he got up off the ground, there was blood all over him.
Yeah, dude.
Like, made it look like he got the crap beat out of him.
So bad, dude. Oh, my gosh. I don't know what the scorecards were on that, but he probably got 30-27.
I think he did.
For some reason, I feel like he picked up a little spunk in the middle and might have won a round or something.
He might have. I think he, like, had some spots where he looked good, but...
He's also old as dirt.
Rockhold?
Yeah.
He's got to be pushing
by the now. By the time they fought each other.
And he went and fought Mike Perry and got his teeth broken in.
That was the co-main on the... For that fight. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he did get 30-27.
Did he?
Yeah.
So we got Merab versus Henry Cejudo. Last time Henry Cejudo fought was in May of 23.
Wait a minute.
What?
Let's hear the pronunciation.
With Merab?
Yeah.
Let me see the name again. You got to say exactly how it looks. Merab Dvalishvili.
I think that's right.
It's pretty close. Well, we did just hear him say it four times.
Yeah, we were watching a video before this of him
showing. If you haven't looked, I know everyone wants to look at Sub-Zero page, but another good page that's right below the quality of Sub-Zero is Merab Dvalishvili.
Correct.
Pretty funny skits on there.
It's hilarious.
Go check
it out. His accent makes it better.
I just found it, and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. I mean, he said it right, though. You have to, Merab, he gave us the blueprint.
Exactly how it looks. It's D-V.
It's Dvalishvili.
Yeah, D-V.
Dvalishvili.
A-L-I-S-H-V-I-L-I.
Vili.
It's simple.
Dvalishvili.
Taking
and then
on
you got Henry Cejudo.
Cejudo. Say how it looks.
Cejudo and what did Henry call Merab?
Dvalishvili.
Wasn't even close.
What's the line on that? Cejudo's like plus 175?
So, Merab is minus 210 to Henry's plus 175.
So, last time we saw Cejudo, he took like a, 2-3-year retirement, quotation
Correct.
Marks. No one cared that he retired, but he did.
No. And he not only did he retired claiming to be the greatest combat sport athlete of all time, like an absolute loser.
And I think the only reason he's saying that, because he has the gold medal.
He's the king of cringe. That's why he did it.
And he's a 2-weight division champion.
He is a loser.
He is.
I can't stand him.
And I'm starting to dislike him. And the video just came out. He fires his coach on UFC Countdown.
Please tell me it was fake.
It's got to be scripted or something. That seems like something he did.
That's like the most well-known coach in UFC.
But
the way he looks.
Volk literally said it. If that is true and not fake, not scripted, none of that, then you are a piece of shit. Straight piece of shit.
I really hope what happened was... Is he is the cringiest guy ever, and that he did that to try and make Merab think that they fired his coach or something crap like
Maybe.
That. Because other than that,
Maybe he just wants to give Merab more content for his skits.
Seems like that wouldn't be it, but maybe he likes the page as well.
King of cringe.
He is the king of cringe, and that press conference between those two is going to be awful.
Yeah.
Listen to the two of them talk to each other. It's just going to suck.
So it was the last time we saw Merab versus Jan when he shot 48 times in a 3-round fight.
Oh my gosh, dude. Don't even remind me because his style is... Yeah, it is the last time, but
it's boring
it's
to
so
watch,
bad.
But it's dominant. It is dominant.
It's dominant, but it stinks.
It does.
He was 11 of 49.
Hey, you can't hate on the man for not stopping. You know?
Yeah, I mean...
Shoot or shoot. And he shot 49 times.
I guess. I mean, I guess it's just I guess it's just because I hate the style so much.
Colby didn't shoot 49 times against Leon.
He shot like
Like seven.
Yeah, dude. When I was watching, I will never forget watching that Merab Yan fight. I will never forget
it. There's another takedown attempt.
I was just like, it was the most relentless thing I have ever seen.
In mine, this is a 3-round fight.
It wasn't he did it five. In 15 minutes.
Yeah.
He might try to take Henry Cejudo down 71 times on Saturday night.
16 times per round on average in a 3-round fight.
Yes.
That is insane.
Yeah, it's I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen anything even close. What was the previous record?
Shot 3 times per minute.
That's ridiculous. And the thing is he actually was shooting more than that because he ended up with 7 minutes of control time on the 11 landed ones that he did get.
Yeah.
So on the 38 that he missed, he was shooting over and over and over, like 15, probably over 15 seconds.
Yeah. So he had 7 minutes of control on that?
Yeah, 6 minutes, 53 seconds.
Controlled on the ground half the fight.
Yeah.
And so the other half of the fight, he was attempting to get it to the ground.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
If he just learned how to, like, strike at all, he'd be unstoppable.
Yeah.
And he might already be unstoppable.
He might be unstoppable because of the competition at 135.
Unless he runs into that right hand of Sugar Sean.
But I'm saying, like, no, he would murder Sugar Sean.
Unless he runs in that right hand.
He won't. He's not going to try and strike with him at all. He didn't even try, really. He tried once up against the cage in the first round.
You know why? Because he ran into that right hand.
You know what my favorite, this is off topic, but you know what my favorite Sugar Sean line is of all time?
Is it from the interview?
Yeah.
He said, I don't know if something or I'm just that effing good or something.
No. Not the post-fight interview. It was a press conference, post-fight press conference.
What'd he say?
They said, a reporter asked him, they said, did you see where the judges all scored it 10-9 for Sterling in the first round? And he said, oh, that's crazy.
What'd they score in the second round?
That's awesome.
I remember when he said that.
That
dude.
Is peak. Yeah. I mean, that's McGregor level.
I was like, oh my gosh, that's great.
That's McGregor level. But back to Merab and Henry.
Yes.
Who's going to win this fight?
Got to be Merab. No.
Cejudo could barely keep Sterling off of him.
And honestly, you would kind of think Merab would have beat Sterling if they ever would have fought. Obviously, they're best friends. But I think I'd probably lean Merab.
Do you think that Henry has just done nothing but wrestle?
He usually has a good game plan.
He's a smart
fighter.
He's
very smart. He's very smart.
It will be a competitive fight because he's too smart and his fight IQ is too high.
And
he's still a 2-division champ.
And he's still a gold medalist in freestyle wrestling.
Right.
Like, he's no slouch at wrestling.
Yeah, he's not just going to double leg bull rush him every time.
He's going to get taken down, but not to the extent that Yan got taken down.
Correct. But will the pressure just thwart the fact that he's even defending? That's what happened to Yan. Yan was stuffing 3 out of 4 attempts.
Yeah, and it's like you said, the pressure, the gas tank of Merab is absolutely insane.
I do expect Henry Cejudo's gas tank to also be insane, though.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite to Merab's level because of prime and age or whatever, but
we saw
Henry
Sterling.
Cejudo.
Sterling was able to take down Cejudo.
Yeah.
Over a 5-round fight.
But after 5 rounds, that was close. I thought Sterling won, but it was a 48-47.
Yeah, it was a close fight. I think Merab's going to win this. It's just going to be the battle of the wrestlers. And then how much better does Cejudo look on the feet, you know? Because you got to imagine that he's going to be the advantage on the feet, I would think.
You would think, but
has Merab ever knocked anyone out?
I don't know,
ground and pound?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if he's done it standing.
Yeah.
So,
because I'm sure he's probably got some knockouts, but I'd imagine they're ground and pound.
Yeah, I mean, you would think most of them at least. So,
how many times has he finished a fight?
Well, he's 16-4.
3-0 knockouts.
He did finish Marlon Moraes in the second round in 2021.
Who did not finish Marlon Moraes on the later half of his career?
Correct. I agree. I'm just saying. And then he's unanimous decision to every fight all the way back to his back-to-back losses in 17 and 18, which were a submission loss to Ricky Simon and then a split decision loss back in 2017.
Hmm.
Before that, he was fighting back in Ring of Combat.
Gotcha.
So, since he's been in the UFC, he lost back-to-back, 0-2 in the UFC.
I would like this to be a fight where the wrestling kind of, I guess the good wrestling of one side kind of balances it out and there's no wrestling, like we saw with Usman Covington.
Well, so I don't think Cejudo will do much shooting.
No.
I think he wants this on the feet.
Yeah, for sure. So I think going back to your original question of, do you think he's just been doing straight wrestling? Probably straight wrestling takedown defense.
Correct.
Because he knows Merab's going to shoot.
Correct.
And he probably knows he has the advantage on the feet. So,
but also, I'm sure he's trained a crap ton about, like, when he's on his back.
Yeah.
Getting up.
Do you think Cejudo's going to take him down?
He might attempt a couple, kind of like Piotr Jan did, just to, like, keep him honest.
Yeah.
Jan took him down.
Do you think he'll land one, though?
I think he can land one.
No?
I mean, Piotr Jan was 1-5, and when he did get him down that one time, he controlled him for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So, I think Henry can get him down. I don't know how much Henry will want to get him down. I think Henry might shoot, I'll say, 3 times over the course of 15 minutes.
Only 3?
Yeah, to just keep him honest.
I think it's going to be Merab's going to shoot 17 times.
17? That's honestly might be low.
Cejudo's 6.
I wonder what the over-under is.
I don't think he's going to shoot like he did against Jan, because he knows Cejudo's a really good wrestler.
Well, before Jan, was it Jose Aldo that he fought?
Was it?
Merab? Not sure. Yes, it was Jose Aldo. And he shot 16 times and was 0 for 16.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was when Aldo was on his way out. Aldo, the problem is the pressure. He didn't land a single takedown, but he's still 29-28 on two cards and 30-27 him on the other. Because he landed 135 strikes and Aldo couldn't get any offense going.
My numbers sounded pretty good, 17.
Yeah, it did. That was in his second to last fight. We know he did the 49 in the most recent one against Jan. And before that was Marlon Moraes, which he finished in the second. So you would assume that one he didn't really land many takedowns. He says he knocked him out with punches in the second round, but he was 4-for-4 on takedowns in that fight. So
yeah. I'm going to go with Merab here. You want Merab?
It feels silly not to.
No.
Also, Cejudo just like finds a way to win stupid fights sometimes. I don't know. I'll give Merab 29-28 and what's closer than people think.
I was about to say, do you think the
this is absolutely a decision.
You think the line is a little too much?
It's a little too much.
Like -150 Merab, -160-ish Merab.
I would put it at -180 for Rob, and I would put it at +135 to +140 for Henry.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
I probably agree with that. I think the value is probably in Cejudo.
The value is for sure in Cejudo. I understand why Merab is a -210 favorite, but Henry could easily win this fight.
Mm-hmm.
Easily.
Yep.
So I'll go with Merab, but I probably won't bet on this.
Yeah, I'll probably stay away.
Because I would think over 2.5 is probably like a -340 favorite.
Yeah.
Like something ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jeff Neal, Ian Garry. Ian Garry coming back since all the crap that's been going on with him. Dropped out with his fight with, who was supposed to fight in December? Vicente Luque. So dropped out of that fight for pneumonia, another quotation mark.
Yep.
After all the crap he got from his wife's ex-husband living with him. So that's a little weird.
There's a lot weird about that ordeal.
But he's back in February against Jeff Neal. What's his nickname? Steel Hands or something?
I don't know.
Jeff Steel Hands Neal?
Couldn't tell you.
ESPN tell you that?
I don't know. I was just going to look and see if it was on the news or something. On the stats, you know. Is like his bio. Hands of Steel.
Hands with a Z. Really?
Hands of Steel.
That was close.
Pretty close. I know you meant with it to have the Z.
Yeah, I did. Well.
Yeah, Steel Hands.
Yeah, I just forgot to mention that.
Hands.
I said it like Hands of Steel. Yeah,
that's what I heard.
Yeah.
Ian Garry, obviously the favorite here at -220. Jeff Neal is +180. Ian Garry sucks. I'm officially off the hype train. I'm officially hope you get knocked out. Officially wannabe McGregor loser fighter.
And I would say most people probably feel that way now.
And I was full send on this kid's hype train.
Yeah.
You know how you said you saw Duplessis fight and then you saw him in the hotel?
Yep.
And you just want to love him kind of because of that? Because
you kind of have that connection.
Yeah. I felt that way about you and Garry.
Because you saw him in Charlotte.
Because I saw him, and he head-kicked Daniel Rodriguez and knocked him out.
Yeah.
And I was like, this kid's this future.
And I saw him in Vegas as well.
Yeah, exactly. That's the one we have in common.
That's the one that he
got dropped.
He got dropped and then came back and knocked him out. And I was like, he's legit. That's
he's
a
legit.
Good comeback.
That's a heck of a comeback.
And he is still legit
and
as
then,
a fighter.
And then the Daniel Rodriguez is no slouch.
Yeah.
That everyone was like, this is going to be a test for this kid.
Yep.
And he knocked him out in 2 minutes.
Wasn't close.
And let's not even, just want to throw it out there, I had Ian Garry first round knockout that night. So that makes you like him even more.
Yeah, win some money.
Then he does all this. And then he talks all the smack about Neil Magny. He talks all the smack about Jeff Neal. For no reason at all.
Yeah.
To really either guy.
I'd imagine he was talking crap about Luque too. How do you talk crap about that guy?
Yeah. His nickname is literally the Silent Assassin because he just doesn't speak to people.
Yeah.
Like, he's the nicest human ever. And on top of that, you talk all that junk, and then you go on your own social media and you turn off people's ability to hate on you by turning off your comments and your likes or whatever. No, you can still like his stuff, but you can't comment
It.
Absurd. And you know what's crazy? You know what's crazy? Is that right now, I guarantee you, if we go over here and pull up Ian Garry's Instagram, he's still talking junk.
Probably.
He's still talking junk.
And his comments are still off.
Exactly. His comments are still off, and he's still posting about other people, which is just ridiculous. You got 500,000 followers. He's got 500,000 followers, dude. I don't know. It's so hard to get on board with this kid at this point because of the amount of childish acts. I mean, I don't even know what to call him.
So, who you going in the fight?
He's
going
to win.
Easily?
I think so.
If he wins
Jeff Neal's
easily,
a dog.
Jeff Neal is a dog.
I think this will stay on the feet, and I think that heavily favors Ian Garry.
What was Jeff Neal's last fight?
Was it Shavkat?
Was it that long ago?
It was Rakhmonov, yeah. Before that, he had not. That was in March of 23. That was John Jones.
Oh, I was at that fight.
You were there.
That was the last time he fought.
That was the last time he fought.
Huh.
And before that, he KO'd Vicente Luque, and then he split decision beat Ponzinibbio. Before that, he lost back-to-back unanimous decisions to Neil Magny.
Yep, and Wonderboy.
And Wonderboy. And you saw what Garry just did to Magny. Now, granted, they fought in 2021, so it's almost been 3 years since we saw Neil versus
Magny's
Magny.
Kind of been on his decline. I know he just beat Mike Malott, but
he was losing for 13 minutes of the fight.
Yeah. Jeff Neal's no joke. He's no slouch.
He's no slouch.
But Ian Garry's very good. He's been getting those little bit up in competition every single fight. Going from Daniel Rodriguez to Jeff Neal, no.
And honestly, Jeff Neal, well, no, it was Magny. Daniel Rodriguez to Neil Magny.
Yes.
To now Jeff Neal.
Would you say Neil Magny's a step up to Daniel Rodriguez?
I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah. But it's close.
I don't know if it is.
You don't think it's close?
I don't think it's a step up.
Oh.
I think it's just probably the same level.
Oh, just same level. Okay, I could see that. I think Magny's maybe a little better, but...
Yeah. It's close.
It's close. But Jeff Neal is kind of in that Neil Magny boat, in my opinion, as well. He lost to him.
The way I saw him fight Shavkat, though, and how good
it changes
Shavkat
your
is,
mindset.
Yeah,
but he also still got finished.
He took him.
He tested him, but he got finished.
He dropped him, and
he dropped him. Yeah, and the weird standing choke where he was like standing beside him,
and what they called a bulldog choke.
Yeah, that was weird. I haven't seen many of those.
No. But what's his nickname? Hands of Steel. He freaking hits hard.
He hits very hard.
So
the problem is, I think that's the best thing about Ian Garry is he's hard to hit. Because yeah. He's long, he's lanky, he's still strong.
His kicks are nice.
His kicks keep you at bay. He's very good with distance control. He's very good at staying off the fence. I don't think Jeff Neal is going to do a lot of takedowns here.
I'm so ready for the press conference and for his walkout and more than likely for his post-fight interview.
It's just
going to
be straight
the crap out of him, dude.
That's all it's going to be is straight booze.
See how much it's changed since Neil Magny.
The only thing that will save him a little bit is that this is in Anaheim, California.
Yeah.
This is not going to be in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
They would dog that man in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And Las Vegas loves the Irish now, like permanently because of Conor McGregor. And I kind of feel that way.
No.
But, I hope he gets knocked out in the first round.
You hope Ian Garry gets knocked out in the first round?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He won't.
He's going to win. I'm going to go Garry here.
I'm going to go Ian Garry, and I'm going to go first round knockout.
So under 1.5 probably is what the line is?
I'm sure it is, yeah, for the 3-round fight.
All right.
These odds seem fair to me. I don't really see Jeff Neal winning. Will he test him? Will he push him? Will it be a decision, maybe? Will he push him up against the fence and make this ugly and dirty at sometimes? Maybe.
I think.
But will he win? I say no.
I think it's definitely going to be a test, but I think the line's where it's supposed to be. Gary should win this fight.
Should win this fight.
And Neil's going to have his moments, but Gary's going to have more moments.
And if he wins this, what's next? Because he's...
Top five.
He's there.
Yeah, what's Neil?
And top five, I'm not sure. But
he's definitely top 10.
But the thing is when you look at that division, you know?
It's 170, right?
Yeah, they're 170. When you look at that division and what's in the top five, that's kind of a hazy division.
Leon, Kamaru, Bilal.
But we don't even know about Kamaru. We don't know what he's doing next.
Gilbert Burns.
And then Colby. Colby fell to five.
Yep.
Can you imagine if Colby Covington and Ian Gary fought
Shavkat. The
press conference that would go along with that? I don't think they're going to do Shavkat and Ian Gary because they're both kind of like separate undefeated stars.
Both on
and they're
the
not going to ruin that record on their way up.
Yep.
Maybe they'll fight for a title one day or something.
Let one get the champion and then the other one challenge them for the champion.
I feel like what they're going to do, because that's just what they're going to do, is give Bilal the title shot in that division. And then you're going to see Shavkat get the winner.
Or Shavkat get Kamaru.
That would... Again, is Usman going to come back to 70?
Yeah, I think so.
You don't think he's better off trying to go be the champ at 85?
Maybe. Plus, he's already got... It's going to be hard for him to get back to the title unless it's someone not named Leon Edwards.
Correct. But a win over Shavkat Rakhmonov would do a lot towards that.
But Shavkat, I feel like he beat Jeff Neal and then was his next fight just Wonderboy?
Correct. So well, he also doesn't
really
have a top five
win.
Yeah, he's ranked third now, though. So there's only so many more fights you can book the guy when he jumps like that.
I think if Usman stays, then that's the fight to make. Usman, Shavkat.
And you go, but you go Bilal?
I mean, yeah, Bilal's got to be next, right?
Entertainment-wise, he should be like 15th.
Yeah, for sure. But as far as what he's done, and plus the way that Leon and Bilal already fought, and there was the eye poke.
Yeah, run it back.
A little bit of history, run that back.
I agree it should be next. But will it be next? I don't put anything
still
past UFC.
Announced it. You know, whenever Leon beat Usman for that, the second time he beat him, but after the third fight, he said, Colby's next. He didn't say that about Bilal.
Correct. And he's not going to commit to
Bilal. And Bilal was the backup fighter as well.
Correct.
So he's like, what else do I have to do? I feel bad for the guy, to be honest.
I can't stand him.
You don't like him?
Not at all.
I mean, he's not entertaining, but, I mean, he seems like a nice guy.
It wasn't too long ago. He said he was like two wins from being the greatest welterweight of all time.
I mean, I didn't say he was smart.
He's annoying. He's cringy.
You hear him when he talks? He's, what the frick?
Yeah, dude.
Or he says, what the fudge?
Oh, my God.
He was on a Rogan podcast, dude, and the entire time he was like just saying cuss words, but they weren't cuss words. He was just, what the fudge, man?
Oh, my gosh, dude. I mean, yeah, let's give the man a shot because I'm tired of hearing him on Twitter like talk about how he deserves one.
He does deserve one.
He does deserve one, but I'm just tired of hearing him talk about it. So
let him get a shot. Let Leon beat the crap out of him, and then we can be done with him.
Leon would kickbox him for five rounds.
Who we got next? So we're both going Gary.
We're both going Gary. So but my question was before we got off on this tangent was when Ian Gary wins this fight, who do you book if you're going top five? I don't think they're going to do Wonder Boy because of the styles. Up and comer, and he's a wrestler.
Yeah, be a bad matchup.
Colby, Burns, Gilbert Burns. What's Gilbert? Does Gilbert Burns?
Jack Della Maddalena
for $299. That's right. And he's still sitting outside the top 10. Those guys are 10 and 11. Gary's 10 and JDM is 11.
That's tough.
That is tough. Because that's a division that Kevin Holland's down there at 13,
That's a division where a lot of those guys like to pick and choose who they fight.
Sure is.
That's the biggest division for that, I feel like.
The top five, for sure.
Mm-hmm. It's hard.
It is. So, I don't know.
Colby wants Wonderboy because he knows he can win that.
Yeah. Stupid. What a loser he is for that call out.
I don't know who would be next. Is Kamara staying there? Bilal should be getting title fight. It's probably not going to be Shavkat because he's an up-and-comer. Gilbert's already booked.
Yeah, but Gilbert's booked for the near future.
For $299, yeah.
So if Gilbert were to win,
it would line up. Yeah.
But then, see, here's the thing.
Is Gilbert going to go and fight another guy that's ranked eighth?
That's the point. And not on top of that, if JDM wins, are you going to book two more of your up-and-comers?
at that point, you're going to have Shavkat, Jack Della Maddalena, Ian Garry. You're going to have to book those.
Somebody's got to fight somebody.
Out of those three people, two of those, there's got to be a matchup between those three.
Yeah, I agree. And I think they want to protect Ian Garry from Shavkat at all costs.
Yep.
JDM, they might throw in there.
Yeah, he hasn't looked great.
He has not looked great.
We'll get on that one. But next.
Komaine.
Whitaker Costa.
To me, I'd just be happy if we get Paulo Costa in the cage.
Feels that way. He backs. I mean, they were already booked for February last year, I believe, whenever Islam and Volk fought the first time.
Yep.
And fell through.
Yep.
And then was he supposed to fight?
He was supposed to fight Khamzat.
Yep, in October.
And we just knew that. You knew that wasn't going to happen.
I was like, you that staph infection is what they said from a burn, which actually did look bad.
It did look bad.
So,
yeah.
I think he'll be there. We're already the week prior. And
as long as he makes weight.
I haven't heard any rumors.
Whitaker's the type to fight anyway, though.
Usually, I feel like whenever it was versus Vettori, there was already rumors that he's like way off.
Right, yeah.
With Costa Vettori because they moved it to 205.
Correct.
And I hadn't heard anything about that. So, I think we're going to be good to go here.
Moved it to 205 and then lost.
Yes.
So bad. If he loses this badly or doesn't show for whatever reason, he might be cut from this company.
Yeah.
Because they don't put up with that crap.
No.
If you're winning, maybe you can do some stuff like that, like Khamzat missing weight and all that. If you're losing and you're no-show all the time for these big fights you're booked in, they will drop you like a fly.
Why do I feel like I'm leaning Costa here in this fight?
Oh, I'm not.
I am.
I just feel like he is reckless on the feet. He won't attempt takedowns. I think Whitaker's just better all around. I think Whitaker wants it more. I think that they're in the same stage of their careers almost. And I think Whitaker just takes the fight game way more serious.
I agree with everything you just said. And I don't think it's going to be pretty, but Costa still hits hard.
He still hits very hard.
And
to me, his only chance is to finish him.
And I got a feeling it's just a 3-round fight.
Yeah.
Got a feeling this one might be a knockout by Costa.
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, for him to win, that's what it has to be.
I'm going to go 2nd-round knockout Costa.
Okay. I'm going to go Whitaker, unanimous decision.
Yeah. I don't know if I see Whitaker finishing him.
He doesn't. Bobby Knuckles doesn't finish a lot of people.
He doesn't really back up the nickname, does he?
No.
Should be Bobby Knuckle. Bobby left hand knuckle.
Yeah, Bobby one knuck.
Is it his left hand he always throws or the right hand? Was that Adesanya fight where he only threw one of them?
I think he was throwing just the left hand, wasn't it?
Yeah. Because there's pictures of him with one arm after.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be an intriguing fight. Whitaker is not the most exciting guy in the world.
No.
But he also does get in there and throw.
Seems like a stand-up guy, too.
He's one of my favorites.
And how much secret juice is Costa taking?
Never knows. That you never know what's in that.
No.
Could just be wine, knowing him.
Wonder how the new drugging company's going.
The new what?
Like they don't have USADA anymore?
It's the new company. The anti-doping agency?
Yeah.
I haven't heard much about it, so you would think that's been good.
Only been a month and a half in, but...
Yeah. You would think if you haven't heard, then hopefully that's good news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last one?
Yeah, last one. Main event.
So what's the line on this? I know it's pretty much almost a pick-em.
This thing is kind of bouncing around a little bit. Right now, Volk is -130 to Ilya's +110.
So, we're big Volk fans here.
We're big Volk fans.
And we're scared.
I'm scared.
I'm a little scared.
I'm more than a little scared.
I'm pretty scared.
I have just an awful feeling about this. Can I give you a comparison?
What's the timeline on a previous fight that you're thinking of?
When would this have been? 2020? Yeah. 2020 or 2021?
McGregor?
McGregor.
Getting knocked out by DP?
Yeah. Does it not kind of give you that?
Oh, man. I don't want to see that.
But does it... It doesn't fit the script. Have you seen how it does fit the script?
Yeah.
It exactly matches Volk's almost...
35, Taporia's 28, younger fighter. Older fighters are like... 2 and 31 in these fights.
That's not even what I'm talking about.
What are you talking about?
It exactly matches the buildup to McGregor Aldo. It's like spot on.
Oh yeah.
Like I saw like a side by side of the comparisons.
Already saying it's his belt. And,
yeah.
You know.
Have you seen? He literally has a documentary.
Yeah.
Coming out.
About how he's
It's called Road to the Title.
Yeah. And he's already, Instagram bio is 15-0. He's 14-0 currently.
And it says Instagram featherweight says champion.
15-0 featherweight champion. But we haven't seen Volk lose at featherweight in a long time.
He's never lost at featherweight.
And hadn't seen Aldo lose at featherweight in a long time either. Why'd you have to say that?
Dude, I'm telling you, it's had Aldo ever lost at featherweight? I don't know. I think that was
Volk
one of
the
comparisons.
Volk lost in the past. Wasn't at featherweight?
He's never. Volk's undefeated at 45.
But before, he's 3 losses and 2 are to Islam.
Correct.
What was the weight class of the one?
Well, maybe it's in the UFC.
The UFC, he's undefeated at featherweight because it was like when he first started.
Well, I don't even know how to pull this up. This was 2013. He got knocked out in the third round with 13 seconds left in the fight at Australian Fighting Championship 5.
He could have been fighting at 185 then.
That was pretty soon. That was 4 fights into his career.
Yeah.
And he used to be a 200-pound rugby fighter.
Exactly.
I mean, so rugby player.
He could have been fighting at middleweight.
Yeah. So I don't know how to pull up. Maybe I can just pull up Volk real quick. Let's pull up Volk and Corey Nelson.
Volk and Corey Nelson weight class.
Because that, I feel like he's never lost. They fought at 170.
170?
Yes. Look how little he looks. That's where he got kicked in the head in that fight when he got knocked out. Look how little he looks to that guy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So he's never lost at 145?
He's never lost at 145. Ilya's never lost ever.
In a professional fight?
I think altogether. I think he's ever lost.
Even like amateur fights?
I think he's undefeated, period. Never lost a fight. At least that's what he walks around saying. I don't know if that's true. He's only 6 fights into his UFC career.
Volk just always looks so good at 145. I think it's just the fact how bad his last fight looked, getting knocked out in the first round.
Yeah, but it's Islam. It's 10 days notice.
Yeah.
He pretty much came out and said he wasn't preparing correctly.
Drinking every day.
We don't know what's going on in Volk's personal life either, because he's made some pretty sketchy comments.
Yeah.
About, please keep me active, like, I kind of get down in the dumps pretty much, like, borderline suicidal type comments, you know, depression.
In October, though. He hasn't said none of that leading up to this.
I mean, that was only 4 months ago.
I know.
5 months ago.
Because before then, he had fought in July versus Yair.
He's been one of the most active fighters in the UFC.
Yeah. Huh.
I don't know. It's Ilya has never been tested like this.
No.
Can I give you a prediction?
Yep.
If this fight goes longer than 3 minutes, Volk wins.
Yeah.
I'm very concerned about the first round.
Poirier's going to come out strong.
And he's going to be aggressive. He's the most confident man on the planet right now.
But if how he good doesn't is he on finish the ground? Him.
But, yeah, I don't know.
Because we know Volk's good on the ground.
We know Volk's good on the ground. I'll put it to you this way. Volk averages a takedown average per fight of 1.84 landed takedowns per fight.
Mm-hmm.
His accuracy is basically 38%.
Yep.
Ilya averages 2.19 takedowns per fight. And his average is basically 56%.
But he's only 14-0.
He's only 14-0.
Volk's been fighting the top dogs for the past 5 years.
6 years. 7 years almost.
Yeah.
Ilya's only 6 fights into his UFC career.
Yes.
He was 8-0 before he became a UFC fighter. So now he's 14-0.
Saw him get hurt on the feet versus Herbert.
He did. And then he had the most brutal knockout of the year.
He did.
But he did. He was tested in that fight. Now, Herbert was supposed to be a guy, though.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be like an up-and-comer guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then so was Bryce Mitchell.
Mitchell just hasn't looked good.
But since that fight.
No.
He was basically undefeated before
that
fight.
Didn't they say he had like the flu or something in that fight?
They did say that. He was absolutely murdered, though. And then he murdered Josh Emmett. Oh. Yeah. I don't know. It's. I just don't. When I look at it on paper, I think Volk's going to win. When I line up all the stats, when I line up the history of the fight, when I line up their previous competition, when I line up how dominant of a champion Volk has been at 45, when you think about that he's beaten Max Holloway 3 times, which is no one will ever say that ever again, you want to go Volk. But that's how everyone felt about Aldo McGregor. And this is just giving me that feeling. I just don't feel good about it.
But let's not forget, exactly a year ago, Volk almost beat Islam.
I agree. I completely agree.
It's just how bad October looked and how kind of recent that was.
To me, it's not Volk. I don't think it's rubbing off on me.
I think Topori's that good.
I think he's that freaking good, dude.
Until I see it, I won't believe it. I think he's good, but Volk's on a different level at 145. Give me Volk to win this fight. And oh, I think he might make it dominant.
He won't make it dominant.
I don't think it's going to be pretty. I think it's going to be like a take you to the ground, ground and pound.
Finish him?
Yes. In the fourth.
Ooh.
I think his only chance of losing is getting knocked out in the first two rounds.
I agree with you. But then I think about a fight like Cody Garbrandt and Dominic Cruz, where Garbrandt just, it was a decision.
But he was knocking down.
But he dropped
him
four times.
I feel like if Volk gets dropped that many times, he's going to be finished.
Maybe. Probably.
Like, how is Cruz not? Cruz wasn't finishing that because Garbrandt would dance every single time he knocked him down.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I don't know. I more so meant the swagger that was carried by Garbrandt.
Yeah.
I could totally see Volk getting dropped and Ilya pointing at him.
But how many times have we seen guys with this up-and-coming swagger finally get a real test and don't live up to it?
Yeah, 100%. We've seen it at 45 repeatedly.
Yeah.
We saw it with Ortega. We saw it with Yair Rodriguez.
Yep.
We saw it with Arnold Allen when he got Max Holloway.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I don't know.
I'm going Volk. Knockout, fourth round. Ground and pound knockout. Maybe even a rear naked choke. A finish in the fourth round.
Okay. Ooh. I'm going to bet on Volk.
Good.
I'm going to
bet
on
Topuria.
I'm never going to do that. No. I'm going to bet on
Volk.
I'm
betting on Volk. That doesn't say I'm not still scared. Okay?
Yeah.
There's the line for a reason. This is almost a pick'em fight. Topuria is very good. But he hasn't faced the competition. We don't know. Maybe he's going to come out and he should have been a minus 300 favorite.
You're right. You're right.
I'm betting with Volk. He's our guy. We talked to him last week. He's ready to go. He's been training up.
Buddy.
He's got a full camp under his belt this time. He's not drinking every day. Volk under a full camp is a scary Volk. Don't forget that. Volk, fourth round.
Okay.
Finish. Topuria, go back to Spain, 14-1. Your documentary, you spent all your money for no reason.
I'm going to bet on Volk.
I feel like a butt's coming.
I'm going to bet on Volk.
I feel like
I'm going to bet on Volk. I'm all in on Volk. I want Volk to win this fight.
Let's hear your cop out. What's the cop out? But
I think Ilya's going to win.
What?
I think Ilya's going to win. But I'm not going to go down on that ship though. I'm going to jump on Volk and I'm going to put my money on Volk.
Your money
there
goes,
will be
the
there
money
will be,
goes with who you think's going to win the fight. Who's winning the fight?
No.
Who's winning the fight?
No, I'm not doing that.
You think Topuria's winning?
I'm not doing that. Because
there's a new featherweight champion on Sunday morning.
That's what I think.
This is unbelievable.
I'm not. I'm going to bet on Volk. I'm going to be pulling for Volk.
Fan, no.
I'm going to be. Stop it. I'm going to be pulling for Volk with every ounce of me. But this feels bad.
Mm.
This feels bad. I'm going to go Ilya Topuria.
Oh, my God.
First round knockout.
First round?
First round.
Get out of here.
I think that's his only chance. And for some reason, I feel like it's going to happen.
I can't state with how much authority that I hope you're wrong. I hope I'm wrong so much too.
I don't want that guy to be champion. I think you're wrong
for even saying you think he's going to win. I think it's fine to say you think he might win. I think Topuria might win, but he's not going to.
Sometimes you have to put your fandom and your bias aside and pick the guy that you think is going to win the fight.
Volk.
I think Topuria is going to win.
I don't know bias or nothing. Volk has never been beat at 145.
There's massive. Neither has Ilya.
Look at Volk versus Holloway the last time. Look at Volk
versus
Yair.
How long ago was that?
Brian Ortega.
How long ago was the third Holloway fight?
Was it?
We're very much removed from that.
It was the. Was it the fall of 22?
Yeah, so we were talking a minute ago about how long it's been since someone fought when it was the fall of 22.
It was the fall of 22. He lost to Islam decision in February 23, beat Yair by ground and pound
in July
of 23. And then,
lost
out
in
October.
October. Yep. Oh, buddy. I don't know. I don't feel good about this.
If he does lose, is this the beginning of the end of Volkanovski?
You have to say yes.
He's 35, getting up there.
He's 35. He probably will demand an immediate rematch at 45. Mm-hmm. So that's the good news. The bad news is, if he doesn't beat him this time, I don't know if he's going to beat him the second time.
Yeah.
Because Ilya will probably be 28 at that point. Volk will probably be 36. Like, I seems Ilya's like
28 right now.
He's 27 right now.
He's our age.
He's, yes.
And he's fighting for a championship.
Correct.
We're doing a podcast.
Talking about him. But one day we'll be talking about him cage side when he fights Sugar Sean for the 145-pound title in 3 years.
Sugar Sean, baby.
In 2 years, maybe.
Volk's winning. Let's go.
All right. Hope you're right.
Wrap it up.
I'm gonna take it on the chin if Volk comes through and say I was wrong about my prediction, but just know my finances will be riding with Alexander the Great. So we'll see. UFC 298 is this Saturday night. Don't miss it. Going to be a fun one. We will recap it after it's over. Go follow us on TikTok. I think we're going to post a video. We're going to make a video about our value picks and our locks for the card. So go check that out. We'll put that on our Instagram, TikTok, probably the website too, and then also X. So go follow us on all those accounts. We will be back next week to recap 298 and hopefully and still. Sub-Zero Sports, we're out.